The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered the devil, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led Jesus up and showed him in an instant all the dominions of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered the devil, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only the Lord." Then the devil led Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, God will command the angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered the devil, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Having finished every test, the devil departed from Jesus until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. In his book, The Wisdom of the Desert, our brother Thomas Merton recounts this story from one of the desert fathers who shares our faith. One of the fathers told a story of a certain elder who was in his cell busily at work and wearing a hair shirt when Abbot Amonas came to him. When Abbot Amonas saw him wearing a hair shirt, he said, "That thing won't do you a bit of good." And the elder said, "Well, three thoughts are troubling me. The first impels me to withdraw somewhere into the wilderness. The second, to seek a foreign land where no one knows me. And the third, to wall myself into this cell and see no one and eat only every second day." Abbot Amonas said to him, "None of these will do you a bit of good. But rather, sit in your cell and eat a little every day and have always in your heart the words which are read in the gospel and were said by the publican, in other words, the Lord's Prayer. And thus you can be saved." So, dear ones gathered here on this Sunday morning, raise your hand if you have thought about or at least considered escaping into the wilderness, moving to a foreign country, or hiding in your room until things seem better. Two hands if it's become more real in recent days. Okay, maybe. I see you. And even so, on this first Sunday in Lent, I believe the gospel has a message for us, a message which directs us towards options which do not include hiding or moving to a foreign country or taking cover for fear of the empire. Amen? Okay, so let's get into it. On this day, the first Sunday in Lent, we've heard the story of Jesus, born of Mary, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, who was being led into the wilderness by that same Spirit. In the wilderness, Jesus suffered many trials and temptations. We only have record of a few of them, but in the last verse of this text, it is written, "When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time." So it seems clear to me that Jesus endured many other temptations that we know nothing of during those 40 days, and that so-called opportune time we can interpret as the cross. So there's much we can know and much we cannot know about Jesus' journey into the wilderness. We don't know exactly all the things that he endured, but we do know exactly where it ended. Now, it is tempting to read the story of Jesus' temptation as an encouragement for us, a model for us on our Lenten journey. So Jesus didn't turn stones into bread, even though he was famished, and therefore I should be able to turn away from the potato chips and French onion dip for 40 days. Amen? Amen. Just let it not be in my refrigerator, and that's just the best way to do it. But in the context of John's gospel, this story of the wilderness journey is not to be understood merely as encouragement to us as future disciples on our own individual spiritual journeys, but rather as a confirmation of Jesus' identity, who Jesus is, his unique identity. It's not just a model of how we are to live our lives or to seek spiritual groundedness, but it's about who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for, and the one who will, soon enough, pay the ultimate price for the sake of love and for all creation. Thanks be to God. Amen? So now that I've told you that this story, this desert story, is not a model for how we are to approach temptation, I'm going to tell you that it also is. It also is, because I believe it is a powerful model for how we are to approach the powers, the principalities, and the empire at work in the world today, during Lent, and every other day. Because in the account of Jesus in the wilderness, we hear him saying, no, no. Here are three things Jesus said no to. Jesus said to the devil, here's what we're not gonna do. We're not gonna use power to meet our own needs, turning stones into bread. We're not going to use power to establish a political empire grounded in the ways of the world, worshiping the devil in order to achieve authority and power over others. We're not going to use God for our own ends, as an instrument for our own success and popularity. And I think this one is key. Jesus, who was on his way to Jerusalem anyway, on the way to the cross anyway, could have accepted the devil's offer. Jumping off the temple and into the city, having angels swoop up and save him would have been social media gold. That would be great news. Can you imagine? Who could deny then that he was the Son of God? Who needs the cross when you can harness that Instagrammable video? But instead, Jesus chose obedience. Faithfulness and obedience to God were more important than effectiveness. Jesus was and is not a doge bro. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Jesus said no to the devil. He said no to abuse of power, to empire, to popularity, and to power over others. Jesus said no. And I would like to propose that during this Lenten season, if you have chosen a fast, if you have chosen to give something up during these 40 days, that you concentrate on that part of the fast. What are you saying no to specifically? Because knowing what we're not going to do is the first step towards what we are going to do. Knowing what we say no to is how we know what we can say yes to. God knows our voices are needed now more than ever. And I know that some of you are doing it. Some of you are showing up for rallies. You're saying, we are not on board with the things that are happening. We are showing up for science, for women on International Women's Day. We're showing up for immigrants. We're showing up at the GBIO meeting that happened this week. Our sister Karen Turley showed up and was there committing Unilu and others to a series of educational events that will strengthen our communities to better say no to what our administration is doing towards immigrants. Read your e-news. You're going to hear a lot of ways that you can say no, but of course, after the no comes the yes. When we know what we're not going to do, that's when we can then embrace what we are going going to do. And I think this is where we need to have this connection between the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness and his crucifixion. These are connected completely. Because Jesus, by saying no to the easy path, said yes to the cross. Jesus saying no to power over others means that he said yes to love for all. Saying no to using God's word for his own gain means that he said yes to justice for all. As we walk together into this Lenten season, I pray that we will have the collective strength to say no to the things we need to say no to. And also that we can open our hearts and our ears to hear where God is calling us to say yes. Yes, with the same fervor. Not just to break things down, but to build things up. And I hope that we can hear each of us, the yes that God has said to each of us. The yes, you are loved. Yes, you are worthy. Yes, you have power. You, no matter how old or young you are, woman, man, immigrant, whoever you are, you have a voice. You have power. Now, to be honest, this morning I was hoping to have a whole other page of this sermon that would give you precise things to do. Say yes to these things. Here is your list. I don't have them. I don't have them because I am, like you, listening. I am listening for where that yes can be. So I started with a quote from Thomas Merton, a story from one of his books. I'm going to end with Thomas Merton again. This is a prayer that I have held on to throughout my life in many difficult times, and I hope it speaks to you in this moment as well. So hear this prayer from Thomas Merton. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I'm following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen.